Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely last Friday in April. I'm Dan, the Produce Man. Boy, oh boy, it's springtime. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast, heard every Monday with Patrick Kelly, and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Fresh Cravings, and London Fruit Company. Folks, it's springtime, and boy, oh boy, I tell you, I spent a few days with a buddy of mine who's a produce specialist, and we were traveling around through Slough House and all the way to Manteca and all the way along Highway 16, and we came across Davis Ranch on Jackson Road in Slough House, California. Now, Slough House was known for generations and generations for some of the best cantaloupes and fresh produce. And, you know, it's the last week of April, so there isn't a whole lot of local stuff there. But they did have asparagus that they were growing right across the street. There's nothing like it. Picked, banded, and brought right to the stand. Folks, if you've ever had fresh picked asparagus, oh my goodness, that is what's for dinner tonight. Pick that up. And just had a blast checking out all the farms, and also went over to Lippman Produce and checked out their tomato packing and cucumbers and eggplants and bell peppers. And I'm going to go back in the summertime and we'll record a video there at Lippman Produce in Manteca. So had a great time shagging around all the farmland and checking out the crops. And folks, beautiful. Oh, and we were eating cherries like crazy out of the bag, spitting the pits out the window. We were Johnny Cherry Seed Pit people. We were having a great time. Early cherries are in now. He told me these were from Lodi. And, man, they were just juicy and crunchy. I don't know what the variety was, but, boy, oh, boy, were they good. Fresh cherries in the stores right now from California. Folks, strawberries out of Salinas, Watsonville. Oh, my goodness, so red and juicy and delicious. Those are in the stores right now. And a few other items, some items that I want to talk to you about today are, let's take a look and see, fresh garbanzo beans in the pods. Folks, fresh garbanzo beans in the pods. Chickpeas is what they're called as well. Oh my goodness. Now you can find these at select stores and at farmers markets, but they're, oh, I don't know, the size of a quarter maybe in length, maybe a little bit bigger. And it's usually just one pea in the pod. So it's a little laborious, but boy, it's rewarding. Sometimes you get two. I have husked all these fresh chickpeas. I'm going to pan fry some of them, and then I'm going to make hummus from fresh green garbanzo beans, chickpeas. Folks, they're absolutely amazing. They're a great source of fiber and soluble fiber, which helps eliminate cholesterol from the body. It's about 285 calories in one cup of cooked fresh garbanzos. You know, when they're fresh and you just eat them, you know, like peanuts out of the shell. That's one way I just enjoy them. It's amazing, the flavor. It's like a fresh pea. And they're a little more firm, but tender at the same time. But boy, oh boy, what a great texture. Check out farmers markets. Check out specialty stores. Fresh garbanzo beans. Yeah, it's a little bit of work, but folks, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a fresh, picked spring item, and they're absolutely delicious. Now, speaking of peas, sugar snap peas out of Half Moon Bay. I've been seeing these in some of the specialty stores as well. These were some really big snap peas. I mean, they were as big as English peas. They still have the strings on them. You got to remove the strings, but man, are they sweet. They're not the stringless ones that you'll get in the store that you just put in your mouth and crunch down. But think about this. The difference between something packaged in the store, which is great, they're great products, or something fresh picked where they are so sweet and so crisp. The texture is just absolutely amazing. Oh boy. And usually like with English peas, the shelling peas, if the pods are really big, then the peas are pretty starchy. But these big, beautiful, fresh-picked snap peas from Iacopi Farms in Half Moon Bay, they're absolutely outstanding. The sweetness is just amazing. Now, when buying fresh peas, make sure that pick nice, firm ones and, you know, rub them around and they'll squeak. That's for sure. They'll make a squeaky sound. You can tell. You'll be able to see. Right now, there's just no reason to have anything old on the stand because it's just fresh picked right now. But when you get them home, you know, say you buy them at the farmer's market and you're eating them on the way home because they're just that good. But when you get home, do refrigerate them so they don't lose their flavor. A lot of vitamin A, B6, vitamin C, copper, folic acid, and a whole lot more in fresh peas. Oh, and the leaves too, pea leaves. Especially the snow pea leaves. I told you about fava leaves a few weeks back. Okay, pea leaves. Absolutely delicious. Oh my goodness. Those are also available. Some of the growers, like at the farmer's market or the stores, they'll sell them in loose bins. And other growers will take them and carefully put them together and bunch them. Either way, fresh pea leaves, fresh sugar snap peas are in the stores right now. You can't go wrong. Oh, and Vidalia onions, Vidalia sweet onions. You know, I switched over to sweet onions and quite a while back for my fresh dried cured onions because it's just a little easier on the stomach when you start to get a little bit older. And oh boy, the Vidalias out of Vidalia, Georgia right now in the stores are just fantastic. Oh, so you take those, chop those up, throw in some peas or some chickpeas and saute those in a pan. Outstanding, folks. Get out to the farmer's market. Get out to the specialty stores and check your grocery stores as well. Coachella Valley corn. Coachella corn. I always love Coachella corn because that tells me California has started. Boy, oh boy, I had some excellent white sweet corn. I just pulled the husks back, bit into it. That's right. No cooking. Just right into the fresh corn. Coachella corn is in right now in the stores. Springtime, baby. Oh, man, I just love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some rhubarb and some baby fava beans. Don't go.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible-to-ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
All right, folks, welcome back to Fresh from the Field Fridays. I'm Dan, the produce man. Springtime is the time of the year. I'm not going to sing to you. I almost did. All right. I told you that I was going to talk about rhubarb, but first, one other item, fresh English peas, also from Half Moon Bay. They can be found at produce stands and farmers markets right now, and some grocery stores have them. Look for shiny, smooth surface pods that are nice and bright in color. You'll get some white calcium spots on the pods as well. Don't worry about that. That's okay. It's not going to hurt. But pick pods that are full, but not puffy, because the puffier ones are going to be, they're just too big. And when they overgrow, they get starchy. The calyx end of the pea pod should be nice and fresh and green. And the sweetest peas, though, are in the medium width pods. So not too big, not too small. You know, now it's best, I guess, to open a pot or two and taste them. That way you know whether you're getting sweet ones. If they're hard and starting to sprout, well, then they're old. But right now, there shouldn't be anything like that on the stands. It usually comes later in the season. Now, do your produce clerks and management a favor in the stores. If you're going to buy English peas in the pods and you're going to taste them, whatever you do, just take the empty pod and put it in a trash receptacle. Bring it to somebody in the produce department. Say, can you throw this away for me if you can't find a trash receptacle? Over the years, working retail, I have found, you know, empty pods on the floor, and somebody can slip and fall and really hurt themselves. I've found them tucked into other displays in shopping carts. Just be courteous and dispose of them. Enjoy the samples, but dispose of them properly, please. Now, you want to consume them as soon as possible because they will start to lose their flavor if you hold on to them for a while. Refrigerate what you don't use, same as the snap peas. And here's a little tip. Fresh English peas out of the pod, the pea itself, should bounce like a tennis ball. So if you take it and you throw it down and it bounces like a tennis ball, you've got a nice fresh pea. If you throw it down and it just kind of thuds like a medicine ball, then it's not going to be a good pea. So good peas bounce, but don't start bouncing peas all over the store because we're going to have problems there too. Fresh English peas, shelling peas in the store. And I'm telling you these things because, yeah, it's kind of a throwback to the old days. You get in touch with how things used to be by shelling the peas. And, oh, man, I tell you, you take these and shell these fresh, medium-sized English peas. Throw them into a potato salad or a salad or pan fry them real quick. You could throw them into all kinds of recipes right now. They just really bump it up. But boy, putting them in that potato salad, really good. English peas, folks, why are they called English peas? All right, I had that. I'm looking at one of my old articles I wrote for the Alameda Sun. And I wrote in here, I did my research. I'll tell you, I wrote these articles years ago, and a lot of my research, in fact, all of my research was done with farmers, talking to growers, talking to handlers, brokers, produce companies, just the growers themselves. I didn't go on the internet and say, oh, this says this about it, and this says that, and that must be good, and pull it together like so many articles are written today. I did real research. To this day, I still do real research. I haven't written an article in years. I have a whole bunch started that I need to finish and get out there somewhere, and I'll get to that one day. But anyway, I did real research, and so this is all coming from the horse's mouth. So let me look through my article here from the Alameda Sun and find out why they're called English peas. There is a reason. Oh, okay, so it goes all the way back to the 17th century. You know, they're just breeding different, developing different varieties of peas. So it was just named that because that's where all the research was going on and the different varieties were growing. There's your reason why they're called English peas. All right, fresh rhubarb. You know, when I was a kid, first 10 years of my life I spent in the state of Vermont. And we lived in a very small town. And it was a lot of fields growing around. And, you know, as a kid, you could just, you know, 6 years old, you'd go out there and run around the fields all day long. And it was safe and good and fun. And my mother, being a good Vermont farm gal, she informed me about the different things to look out for, what you can eat, what you can't, if you get lost, if you get stranded, what you can eat, what you can't. And, of course, the rhubarb was one of them that will always rehydrate you, and it grew everywhere like a weed. And she told me, eat the rhubarb, check the basil end, but do not eat the leaves. And because they're very poisonous. And to this day, that's true. Cut those bad boys off. Well, you're not going to get those in the store anyway. Fresh field rhubarb is in the markets now in all the stores. And it really beats the hothouse rhubarb that we get during the off season because those are very skinny and spindly and don't have as much. I don't think they pack as much of a punch as fresh field rhubarb. Now, this is weird. We'd pick the rhubarb, and we would peel the outer skin off of it, very thin skin, and just crunch it down. Sour? Heck yeah, it was great, but we used to eat sourgrass and other things too, so what's the difference? Pour a little salt on there and just eat the rhubarb nice and fresh is what we used to do. So we moved to California in 1970, and we were in a grocery store, and I saw rhubarb on the stand, and I just started laughing my rear off. And my mother looks at me, she goes, what are you laughing at? I said, look, if they're selling that wheat up there for 49 cents a pound, man, that's brilliant. And I was laughing because it grew as a weed where I lived. But, here and all over the place, it's cultivated for culinary purposes. Fresh rhubarb in the stores right now, folks. Now, rhubarb dates all the way back to Tibet, 2700 BC, and it's a relative of sorrel. Sorrel used to be a very popular herb. I remember a French restaurant across the street from a produce market that I worked at when I was a kid used to make sorrel soup. Very good. But anyway, the rhubarb, by the 1600s through travel and trade, it made its way to Europe. And by the 1700s, it was finally discovered that the tangy red stalk had some good culinary properties. And by the early 1800s, rhubarb had made its way here to this continent. In 1947, the U.S. Customs Court in Buffalo, New York, had spent time on deciding whether rhubarb was a fruit or a vegetable. Yeah, that's what they were spending their time doing. And so a judge named Genevieve Klein had remembered that, in school, that a fruit is the ovary of a seed-bearing plant, or at least the fertile spore-bearing part of a plant. And a vegetable is the edible part of a plant, such as the leaf or root, or in this case, the stalk. Well, it all had to do with the import duty on fruits and vegetables, 35% on fruits and 50% on vegetables. So the court decided, since rhubarb was used as a fruit, it would be considered a fruit. There you go. But where do we see it? We see it on the wet rack in the stores with the vegetables. So maybe some things have changed since the days of Judge Genevieve Klein. When you're picking out rhubarb in the store, make sure that you have deep red and firm ribs. Stay away from ribs that are flabby or limp or super bendable. Once picked, the shelf life of rhubarb is very short, so it should remain refrigerated. Keep it in the refrigerator until you're ready to use it, and then use it up. Lots of nutrition, a lot of vitamin C, beta carotene, calcium, and potassium. Now, around the world, there are several festivals commemorating the culinary diversity of this nice tart vegetable, I would say. Fruit. Including a week-long celebration in Wakefield, England. And don't forget National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day on June 9th coming up. So folks, it's happening. It is produce time. I'm Dan the Produce Man. I want to remind you to check out the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly. And check out the Produce Industry Show on YouTube with Patrick Kelly as well, and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. It's a great resource. Download that onto your phone or onto your tablet. Also, check out my YouTube, Rumble, and Vimeo channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com. Hey, folks, check out LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever else you can see the Produce Industry Podcast. There's some really cool shoes being auctioned off, and they have the Produce Industry Podcast logo on them, but mainly it's the cut fruit that's all over the shoes. They're really cool sneakers, and they're being auctioned off right now, the highest bidder, and all the money goes to Habitat for Humanity. So get on there and make your bid, and let's get a good cause and get yourself a really cool pair of cool shoes. All right, folks, until next week. This is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.